January 15, 1901. From a recent communication, Ellen G. White. We have an abundance of sermonizing. What is most needed at our camp meetings and conference sessions is love for perishing souls. That love which comes in rich currents from the throne of God. True Christianity diffuses love through the whole being. It touches every vital part, the brain, the heart, the helping hand, the feet, enabling men to stand firmly where God requires them to stand, so that they will not make crooked paths for their feet, lest the lame be turned out of the way. The burning, consuming love of Christ for perishing souls is the life of the whole system of Christianity. When this principle pervades the whole life, the blessed results will be seen in the rich fruits that are born. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Galatians 5, verse 22-23. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Here is presented the responsibility resting on one to teach the Word, and the equal responsibility resting on him who is taught, the hearer, the learner, to show respect and appreciation for those laboring in the ministry. He is to feel his obligation to impart to them of his temporal substance in all good things. Let all bear this in mind and seek to realize and fulfill their responsibilities. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Wonderful truth! This is the two-edged sword that cuts both ways. This life and death question is before the whole human race. The choice we make in this life will be our choice through all eternity. We shall receive either eternal life or eternal death. There is no middle ground, no second probation. We are called upon to overcome. Heaven has provided us with abundant opportunities and privileges so that we may overcome as Christ overcame and sit down with Him on His throne. But in order to be overcomers, there must be in our lives no petting of fleshly inclinations. All selfishness must be cut out by the roots. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Why should we, with such helpers to cooperate with us in the battle of life? At our baptism, we were pledged to the service of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we received the holy rite. The pledge was a life pledge on the part of heaven, if we comply with the conditions. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. My heart is comforted in the Lord, and made strong as I write these words. My prayer while I write is that the Lord will awaken His people to action. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The truth requires every minister to be temperate in all things, that he may have a vigorous mind to use in the Lord's service. He who bears the great responsibility of ministering in word and doctrine should be a man of sound mind. His habits of life of eating and drinking are to be pure, even as Daniel's. Every worker connected with God in sacred service is under bonds to be a pattern of piety in every phase of his life, that God may make of him a channel of communication to the church and to the world.